cursed. To curse is to call upon a divine power to bring injury upon someone or something. And of course, that's impossible. We can bring a curse upon ourselves by our actions if we deserve it. The Lord will curse His children. You haven't read Leviticus 26 or Deuteronomy 28 if you don't know that. You can have blessings or you can have cursings in your life. It's just the way it is, simple as that. The first entity cursed by Father shouldn't come as a surprise to anyone. You know who it was. It was Satan, because he seduced Mother Eve in the Garden of Eden. But Father will curse his other children as well. In fact, there's a list of 12 things that will earn you a curse from God in the Bible. They're secret things, or so the person who committed them thinks, that it was secret, that nobody knew it. I did it, but nobody knew it. You know what? Anyone that thinks they can keep a secret from God, who thinks they can keep a sin from their Heavenly Father, is a fool. Open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 3, verse 1, as we begin our lesson, Cursed. Chapter 3, verse 1, we ask that word of wisdom in Yeshua's precious name. Father, we ask you to open eyes, open ears this day. Now the serpent was more subtle, that means cunning or crafty, than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Whoa, serpents don't talk. That should, anyone who's been taught their whole life that it was a snake in the Garden of Eden is not reading the Bible. The serpent said, now, this is that same old serpent, the devil, called the devil, and Satan, Revelation chapter 12, verse 9. That's who we're talking. Let's be clear here. We're talking Satan was in the Garden of Eden. And he said unto the woman, to Eve, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Question. Well, if we backed up to chapter 2, verse 16, we could read, And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. And you know, it really shouldn't be a stretch for us to compare men, the trunk, the limbs, two trees. In fact, it's not only the tree of knowledge of good and evil that's in the Garden of Eden. There's another tree there that's a tree, the tree of life. In the minor prophets, the Lord Himself compares Himself. I am a green fir tree, He says. In the New Testament, one said, I saw men as trees walking. So the fact that we're going to compare trees to men, it shouldn't be a stretch. And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, the one of knowledge and tree of sin, I'll get it out here in a minute, the tree of good and evil, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Important to go back to the Hebrew here. Touch in the Hebrew language is naga. It means to lie with a woman. Let's be clear here. We're talking about Satan seducing Mother Eve in the Garden of Eden. As Paul would write in 2 Corinthians in the New Testament, chapter 11, verse 3. He says, I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve, that word beguiled in the Greek, you know it, it's expatio. It means wholly seduced. That's what we're talking about here, beloved, the seduction of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. The second utterance out of his mouth, and it's a lie. John chapter 8, verse 44. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Ye shall not surely die. God said, you will die on the day that you partake of the tree of good and evil. For God doth not, the serpent continues, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened. Oh, it's a tree of enlightenment. And ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. God knows this, but he's just not telling you. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant in the eyes, to the eyes, Satan's a good-looking rascal. We know it from Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 12. He was made full of wisdom, full of beauty, perfect beauty. And to a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. No longer innocent. They had both broken the only commandment that man had at this time, not to partake of the tree of good and evil. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. Let me ask you, if you took a bite out of an apple, would it make you realize that your eyes were closed and that you were naked now that your eyes had been opened? No, that wouldn't happen from biting into an apple. And they sewed fig leaves, the beginning of the parable of the fig tree, together and made themselves aprons. Did they make something to cover their mouth because they had bitten into an apple? No, they made aprons to cover their personal parts because they knew they were naked. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? Why are you hiding? He knew. And he, Adam, said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And I don't care how good at hide and seek you are, you cannot hide from God Almighty. And he, the Lord, said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree, wherefore I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? Now, will Adam confess and say, yes, Lord, I messed up, and ask for forgiveness? And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. He has an excuse to offer. He's blaming someone else. He's kind of blaming God Almighty. You know, Lord, if you hadn't given me that woman, none of this would have happened. And the Lord God said unto the woman, why is this what is this that thou hast done? Question. And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me. This word in the Hebrew, nashah, it means to seduce. That's what we're talking about here, beloved. And I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, and remember, we're not talking about a snake, we're talking about the serpent, the one called the devil, and Satan. Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And because of what he did in Ezekiel chapter 28, got all puffed up in himself and wanted to be the one to sit on the mercy seat, not the one to protect the mercy seat, the one to sit on the mercy seat, he was sentenced to be turned to ashes from within from that point forward. No questions on God's part, no pussyfooting around, judgment. The Lord continues, and I will put enmity, that means hostility or difference, between thee and the woman, and between thy seed. The word seed is zera in the Hebrew. It means posterity, children. That's what we're talking about here, beloved. We're not talking about apples. Well, there you go, talking that old serpent seed again. Well, no, I'm teaching God's word, and God's word teaches serpent seed. God just said he would put enmity between the serpent seed and the woman's seed. That's serpent seed. It, the seed of the serpent, will bruise thy head, the seed of the Lord Jesus, and eventually would bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Well, they certainly bruised the heel of the Lord when they nailed his feet to that cross. But you know what? You, beloved, the elect, are part of the bruisers that are bruising Satan's head. Even now. Why? Because we're not teaching apples in the Garden of Eden. We're teaching the truth. What happened in the Garden of Eden? That there is enmity between the serpent and the seed of the woman. And we know that the serpent's seed, eventually the Antichrist, is going to return claiming to be Jesus Christ. You have a very special role at that moment, and that is to stand for Jesus Christ, bruising the head of the serpent. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. You know what conception is. You don't get in the state of being having conception by taking a bite out of an apple. Come on, people. It's getting late in the game, and there are all too many people. They're taught their entire life the apple in the Garden of Eden, not the truth about what happened. And you know what? I think that turns a lot of people off to religion. They don't believe the fairy tales that they're taught. But the Lord said, I will greatly multiply thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam, Adam is just as guilty as Eve in this. He said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Nature even affected by this breaking of the first command. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. What the curse is that Adam had it in the Garden of Eden. He could have eaten the fruits of the Garden of Eden all of his life. But because of what he did, God is cursing him to a lifelong of labor. You're going to till the ground all the days of your life. And it's still going to, let's go to the next one. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till I return unto the ground, until you die. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 6 and 7. Ere the silver cord part, or ere the golden bowl is broken, figures of speech meaning when we die, the flesh returns to the earth from which it came, the spirit returns to the Father from which it came. Well, now wait a minute. The Lord said back in chapter 2, verse 17, in the day that you eat of the tree, you will die. Are you familiar with 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8? What is one day? One day is with the Lord as 1,000 years. Let's see. How long did Adam's children live? Well, there was one that lived a particularly lengthy life. His name was Methuselah. Methuselah lived 969 years. That's within the day. One day with the Lord is 1,000 years. 1,000 years as one day. And Adam called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living. And through her seed line eventually would come Jesus Christ. And through him all have the opportunity to live. Let's skip ahead to chapter 4, verse 1, for the sake of time. And Adam knew his wife, and she conceived. Well, it wasn't the first conception. We read about that one in chapter 3, verse 16. And bare Cain and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. Verse 2, and she again, this word again in the Hebrew, yasaf, it means continued. She continued and bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground, not for long. Now, on this, it's very possible, just ask any doctor, it's biologically possible for a mother, and what we're talking about here is twins. What happens when a woman bears a child and continues in labor and bears another child? She just had twins. And it's very possible for a mother to bear twins who are conceived by different fathers. That's what happened in this case. She conceived of the serpent, Satan, and then she conceived of Adam. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. Didn't say anything about first fruits. Didn't say anything about his love offering. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings. Here you have first fruits. Here you have love of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. Now, the fact that they both brought an offering the same day also indicating that they came to age at the same time. We're talking twins. And unto Cain and to his offspring, he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. Cain was jealous. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, could be translated, if you're honest, shalt thou not be accepted. And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. That's almost what that verse 16 ended when the Lord was talking to Eve. I like the way that Moffat translates the last part of this phrase, sin eager to be at you, yet you should be able to master it. Watch what jealousy is capable of bringing about. And Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him, murdered him. Matthew chapter 23, verse 33 through 35, Jesus said, ye generation of serpents, you vipers, he calls them, how can you escape from the damnation of hell? And he's talking to the Kenites, the offspring that occurred from Cain. He said, you're going to be called to account from the righteous blood of Abel to Zacharias, whom you slew between the porch and the altar. John chapter 8, 44, I referred to a moment ago about Satan being a liar and the father of it. That verse starts out, John 8, 44, you are of your father, the devil, speaking to the Kenites. He was a murderer from the beginning. Who was the first murderer? The first murderer was Cain. Another place in the New Testament says, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one. You know who the wicked one is? I sure do. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? A little sarcasm sound there. And he's also a little bit under the pretense of ignorance. I don't know where he is. Why are you asking me? And he, the Lord, said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. There are no unsolved mysteries in our Father's kingdom. And now art thou cursed. The old apple doesn't fall far from the tree. Satan was the first one cursed, his offspring the second one cursed. From the earth which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. No more will he be a tiller of the land. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. And so it is with Kenites today. The land won't yield her produce to them. That's why they're normally congregating or habitating in areas of commerce and trade, such as Sidon and other places. Verse 13, and Cain said unto the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Do you feel sorry for Cain? Boy, I sure don't. He's a murderer. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid, and I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth, and it shall come to pass that every one that findeth me shall slay me. Well, wait a minute. If Adam and Eve are the first people on earth, who is Cain worried about slaying him? You know, it's the sixth day creation. God created some people in Genesis chapter 1. Adam and Eve were created in Genesis chapter 2. Shouldn't be that hard to keep separate. And the Lord said unto him, therefore, whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken upon him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. And so the beginning of the mark of the beast. And Cain went forth from the presence of the Lord, and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. Land of Nod? Who is Nod? If Adam and Eve were the only people on earth at the time, and Cain knew his wife. Where did Cain get a wife? Sixth day, you know. And she conceived and bare Enoch, and he builded a city and called the name of the city after the name of his son Enoch. If we continued, which we're not in Genesis 4, you would have continued genealogy of Cain. It's important to remember it's Cain's genealogy. Keep them separate. Chapter 5 is where we learn of Adam's genealogy. And you have to be careful, because guess what? There's an Enoch in Adam's genealogy. There are several other names from Cain's genealogy that they copycatted from Adam's genealogy, trying to confuse the matter. Let's continue our study on cursing. Let's go to Joshua chapter 7, verse 1. Moses has passed away. Aaron has passed away. God has chosen Joshua to lead Israel into the promised land. They had a smashing success in Joshua chapter 6 at Jericho. Would it continue? Chapter 7, verse 1. But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing. For Achan, the son of Carmi, Achan, if you translate it, means trouble, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. Now, this affected all the children of Israel. Why? Because if you back up to chapter 6, verses 18 and 19, he says, you don't take of anything. God put a ban on everything in Jericho except Rahab and her house. He also said that you'll take the silver and the gold that's found in Jericho, and it is consecrated to the house, the treasuries of the house of the Lord. And if you take it, it's going to bring a curse upon your camp and trouble your camp. Ironic that Achan means trouble. No. And Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Beth Aven on the east side of Bethel, and spake unto them, saying, go up and view the country. And the men went up and viewed Ai. Good to have reconnaissance, to do a little intelligence, to find out who your enemy is. How strong is your enemy? And they returned to Joshua and said unto him, let not all the people go up. Don't send all of the soldiers. But let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai, and make not all the people to labor thither, for they are but few. Maybe a little bit overconfident here over the walls of Jericho coming down. I think they're confusing, though, who the victory belonged to. They're confusing God's victory and giving themselves credit for the victory at Jericho. Look what we did with our own hands. So there went up thither of the people, Israel, about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai. No victory here. They're running scared. Leviticus chapter 26, verse 5. The blessings of God. If you do things His way, 5 of you will put 100 to flight. 100 of you will put 10,000 to flight. The curses of Leviticus 26, verse 36, you don't do things God's way, and the sound of a rustling leaf will cause you to flee when no one pursues you. And the men of Ai smote of them, Israel, about 36 men. For they chased them from before the gate, even from Shebarim, and smote them in the going down, wherefore the hearts of the people melted and became as water. Not only their hearts melted, their backbones melted as well. And Joshua rent his clothes and fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord until the eventide, he and the elders of Israel, and put dust on their heads. They're mourning. They realize something is wrong. And Joshua said, "Alas, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan to deliver us unto the hand of the Amorites," one of the tribes of the Canaanites, "to destroy us? Would to God we had been content and dwelt on the other side of Jordan." If they had been content and dwelt on the other side of Jordan, they wouldn't have been following God's instructions. God appointed Joshua to lead Israel to the west side of Jordan, the promised land. I'm sure God's kind of questioning him appointing Joshua. "O Lord, what shall I say when Israel turneth their backs before their enemies in retreat," in other words. "For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it." There's a lot more Canaanites. "And shall environ," this means to surround us, "round, and cut off our name from the earth." They're going to kill us. "And what wilt thou do unto thy great name?" Why, why, why? That's what I'm hearing from Joshua. I mean, this guy is supposed to be leading the nation of Israel into the promised land. And all he's doing, and all the people are listening to their leader and going, "Whoa, maybe we should have stayed on the east side of Jordan." "And the Lord said unto Joshua, Get thee up. Wherefore liest thou thus upon thy face? Get up and act like a man. Israel has sinned." You should have asked me, is what the Lord is saying, "What went wrong at Ai?" I would have answered you, "Israel hath sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant which I commanded them, for they have even taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen and dissembled also, and they have put it even among their own stuff." Dissemble means to deny something, or they did something in secret. "We're going to hide this from God. Therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies, because they were accursed. God said, I will curse their camp and trouble it. Neither will I be with you anymore, except you destroy the accursed from among you." Destroy it, or it will spread. "Up," or get up, "sanctify the people and say, Sanctify yourselves against tomorrow. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, This is an accursed thing," or "there is an accursed thing in the midst of thee. O Israel, thou canst stand before thine enemies, no victories, until you take away the accursed thing from among you." No blessings, no victories anywhere in Canaan until they get rid of the accursed thing. "In the morning, therefore, ye shall be brought according to your tribes. And it shall be that the tribe which the Lord taketh shall come according to the families thereof. And the family which the Lord shall take shall come by households. And the household which the Lord shall take shall come man by man." Now what he's talking about here is it's by casting lots. the Urim and Thummim out of the priest pouch, the ephod. It's being slimmed down. First, the tribe of Israel. Second, the family. Then man by man. And it shall be that he that is taken of the accursed thing shall be burnt with fire. I think we see a type for the lake of fire. And some, you know, we live, we're used to living ourselves in the able to repent and be forgiven of our sins. You know, on Judgment Day, it's too late to repent. And it's too late for Achan and his family to repent. Should make us thankful that we have that dispensation of grace. He and all that he hath, because he hath transgressed the covenant of the Lord, and because he hath wrought folly or wickedness in Israel. So Joshua rose up early in the morning and brought Israel by their tribes, and the tribe of Judah was taken. We learn in verse 1 that that is Achan's tribe. And he brought the family of Judah, and he took the family of the Zarhites, that's Achan's family, Zerah in verse 1. And he brought the family of the Zarhites, man by man, and Zabdi, that's Achan's grandfather, verse 1, was taken. And he brought his household, man by man, and Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, was taken. And Joshua said unto Achan, my son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession unto him, and tell me now what thou hast done. Hide it not from me. You can't hide from God. And Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonish garment, a Baal worshiper priest robe, and 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them and took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it. God said, destroy everything in Jericho except the house of Rahab. The silver and the gold consecrated. It goes into the sanctuary temple, the treasury of the sanctuary. Achan messed up. And you know what? Achan is not the only one who paid for it. There were 36 soldiers killed because of Achan's folly. The whole nation paid. So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran into the tent, and behold, it was hid in his tent, and the silver under it. Tents at this time were fairly small. And I want to make this point so that for those of you who think, well, God shouldn't have destroyed all of Achan's children. Well, you see, all of his family lived in this tent, and they all saw that Achan had taken it, and they knew what had happened and consented to some extent. And they took them out of the midst of the tent, the Babylonish robe and the silver and the gold, and brought them unto Joshua and unto all the children of Israel, and laid them out before the Lord, no more hidden, in plain sight for all to see. And Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan the son of Zerah, and the silver, and the garment, and the wedge of gold, and his sons, and his daughters, and his oxen, and his asses, and his sheep, and his tent, and all that he had, and they brought them unto the valley of Achor. Achor, if you translate it, means trouble. And Joshua said, "Why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day." And all Israel stoned him with stones and burned them with fire after they had stoned them with stones. God's judgment. And they raised over him a great heap of stones. It's funny or ironic to me that IE means a heap or ruins. A heap of stones unto this day. So the Lord turned from his fierceness, the fierceness of his anger, the curse removed. Wherefore the name of that place was called the Valley of Achor unto this day. I mentioned a moment ago 12 secret sins that will bring a curse from your Heavenly Father. In conclusion, let's go there. Deuteronomy chapter 27, verse 14. Deuteronomy 27, 14, and it reads, "And the Levites shall speak and say unto all the men of Israel with a loud voice, all to hear, cursed be, or cursed is, the man that maketh any graven or molten image, an abomination unto the Lord, the work of the hands of the craftsman, and putteth it in a secret place. And all the people shall answer and say, Amen." Of course, we're given the law not to to form a graven image in chapter 20 of Exodus. This further states, though, and then hides it in a secret place. What we find here are 12 secret crimes, or the person who committed them thinks that it's done in secret. "Cursed be he that setteth light of his father and his mother, and all the people shall say, Amen." Amen, meaning of a truth, or that's that. This translated probably better is to hold your parents in contempt. Moffat translates this to dishonor your parents. And again, done in secret. You don't think God knows or anyone else does. Verse 17, "Cursed be he that removeth his neighbor's landmark, and all the people shall say, Amen." Now, at this time, they didn't have survey crews whose job was to establish borderlines of property. They set a rock at the corner of the property of Joe. And this maple tree over here is the border, the corner of Ralph, and so on and so forth. And what this is saying is cursed is someone who would go out while the party that's not his neighbor is not looking and move the landmark, the rock. What is that doing? That's stealing his inheritance. You know, spiritually, you can steal someone's inheritance as well. The false teachers, false prophets, they move property lines. They move landmarks by making it inaccessible for people to reach their inheritance. And I'm talking about inheritance in the promised land. "Cursed be he that maketh the blind to wander out of the way, and all the people shall say, Amen." And it's cursed. I'm sure God has a special cursing for those who impede a blind person in their travel. Think spiritually, always, beloved. who causes people to wander spiritually? Is there their blind false teachers, false prophets? Cursed be he that perverteth the judgment of the stranger, that's a foreigner, fatherless, that's an orphan, and widow, and all the people shall say amen. To pervert judgment is to show partiality or favoritism. Cursed be he that lieth with his father's wife. This is to lie in sexual intercourse. The laws of incest, Leviticus chapter 18, verse 8, Leviticus 20, verse 11. Because he uncovereth his father's skirt, and all the people shall say amen. This is also called uncovering your father's nakedness. You know, that's what Noah's son Ham did in Genesis 9:22. He slept with his own mother. What was the result? A child, Canaan. That's the reason Noah cursed Canaan. A lot of people say God cursed Noah or Ham because of what he did. No, that wasn't who cursed. It was Noah who cursed Canaan and sent him away. He didn't want to witness continually what Ham had done, the result. Cursed be he that lieth with any manner of beast. This is bestiality forbidden in Leviticus chapter 18, 23, to lie carnally with an animal. And all the people shall say amen. Cursed be he that lieth with his sister, the daughter of his father, or the daughter of his mother, and all the people shall say amen. Leviticus chapter 18, verse 9. David had a son named Ammon, and he seduced his sister Tamar, breaking this law. 2 Samuel chapter 13, verse 23. Cursed be he that lieth with his mother-in-law, and all the people shall say amen. Leviticus 18, 17. Verse 24, cursed be he that smiteth. This word in the Hebrew is nakah. It can mean to murder. Exodus chapter 20, verse 13, thou shalt not kill his neighbor secretly, and all the people shall say amen. Cursed be he that taketh reward to slay an innocent person, a hired assassin, for example. And all the people shall say amen. The 12th and final curse. Cursed be he that confirmeth not all the words of this law to do them. And all the people shall say amen. You know, anyone who thinks that they can hide a sin from God is a fool. And just, Jesus paid an awesome price. And I encourage you, if you're walking around with a boatload of sin, get rid of it. Don't be like Achan and carry it around until it's too late to do anything about it. Judgment Day. On Judgment Day, there are a lot of folks going into the lake of fire. Get rid of that sin. Don't put yourself in a position where the Lord has the obligation to curse you. Let's go to his throne. Yahweh, Heavenly Father, we thank you, Father, again for your word, Father. Your word that lines out for us A, B, C, how to please you, Father. It's simple if we keep it simple and don't complicate it with the traditions of men. Father, we ask that everything we do be blessed by you the rest of this day. We ask that everything we be do to the honor and glory of your name. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
The Mark of the Beast on CD is our free introductory offer to you. What is the Mark of the Beast? Many false teachers would have you believe it will be a tattoo on your forehead or a computer chip implanted under your skin. It is getting late in the game. You need to know what the Mark of the Beast is. As it's written in Revelation chapter 13, verse 8, many will be deceived. There is no need for you to be deceived. Christ said in Mark 13, 23, "Behold, I have foretold you all things." Jesus indeed told us how not to be deceived, and Pastor Arnold Murray takes you on a step-by-step study of God's Word concerning this critical subject, the Mark of the Beast. The telephone call is free. The CD is free. We don't even ask for the shipping and handling. It is free as well. All you need to do is call 800-643-4645 to request your one-time, one-per-household copy of the Mark of the Beast. You may also request your free CD by mailing your request to Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas 72736. Don't be deceived by Satan.
Into being scribes for the tribe of Judah. You want to make sure you're careful of who's keeping your records and your books. You might want to order, Rob, there's a CD entitled Kenites. It's 30436. It's done by Pastor Arnold Murray. It's an excellent work on Kenites. Another one just came to mind too, The Key of David is another CD, 30748, I believe is the number for The Key of David. And it also is an excellent work that helps you understand who those are that claim to be our brother Judah, but do lie and are of the synagogue of Satan. My words? No, that's the words of Jesus Christ. Revelation chapter 2:9, Revelation chapter 3:9. Curtis in California, from the day that you are reborn, are all of your sins forgiven from that day on? No. If you continue to sin, which all of us do after you're reborn, I guess you mean by that that you're saved, you're going to continue to sin. I wish it were as simple as that all we had to do was be baptized or be saved, and then we would never sin again. It doesn't work that way. We're in the flesh. To be in the flesh is to sin. And if someone says they don't sin, they're a liar. That's biblical, James chapter 1. If you continue in your sins, you're going to be judged on them at the great white throne judgment. But that's the beauty of Christianity, is that we have repentance. And when we do fall short, when we mess up, when we sin, then we repent. And that means to have a true change of heart, a change of mind, that you don't want to displease God, that you don't want to continue in the ways that you're doing. And then ask for forgiveness and God will forgive you. And that sin is blotted out. That means that it's like if you took a piece of chalk and you wrote your sin on the chalkboard and then you took an eraser and erased it. It's not there. It's gone. Art in New York, is the millennium going to be the same or different as we are in flesh life as for love and marriage? Okay, well, Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 22, verse 23 and the following verses, the Sadducees and Pharisees were trying to stump Jesus. They were trying to trick him into getting caught in their foolishness. And they put up a hypothetical to him. They said this woman married a man and they had no children. The man died, and as was custom, the man's brother took her to wife. They had no children. And this happened 7 times. And at the end of that, she died and went to heaven. Which of the 7 brothers was she married to in heaven? And Jesus said, you do err in your understanding of God's word and the power of God, the scriptures and the power of God. For in the resurrection, meaning after we die, they neither marry or are given in marriage, but are like the angels. So no men and women in spiritual bodies. We'll all be the same. If you want to take it to a spiritual level, you could say we'll all be feminine because we all will be the bride of Christ. Taylor in Indiana. I was baptized as a child, but lived almost since I was six as an atheist. But now I am returning to Christ. Welcome back. If I get baptized again, this is because I want it for myself, not because somebody did it when I was born. How do you think God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit think on this subject? Well, you said after you were born. I'm going to assume that you were an infant when you were baptized. Here at Shepherd's Chapel, we dedicate infants and anoint them with the oil of our people, the olive oil, and ask Jesus to watch over them if their parents become distracted. But the decision for baptism should be the individual's. And I know what you're saying. If your parents decided that you should be baptized when you were an infant, that wasn't your decision. If that's the situation you're in, yes, I would be baptized. Now, there's only one risk, and that is in Hosea chapter 6:6. It states there that if you fall away after you come to knowledge, after you're saved, that you shouldn't be saved again, because that's like re-crucifying Jesus. Once on the cross was enough. So if you were, my point is, if you were an infant, yes, I would be baptized. If you were old enough to know what was going on, then I wouldn't, because there's only one baptism. I'm out of time. I love you all because you enjoy studying God's Word in depth. Father loves you for it as well. It makes his day when he looks down, he sees you reading the letter he wrote to you, the Bible. We are brought to you by your tithes and offerings. If we've helped you, help us keep coming to you and to reach out to others who are lost in this world of darkness. There's one thing that's most important though, beloved, it's this. You stay in his word every day, every day. And Father's word is a good day, even with trouble. You know why? It's because Jesus is the living word.
Hearing God's word with understanding will change your life. We hope you have enjoyed studying God's Word here on the Shepherd's Chapel Family Bible Study Hour with Pastor Dennis Murray. If you would like to receive more information concerning Shepherd's Chapel, you may request our free introductory offer. Our introductory offer contains the Mark of the Beast CD, our monthly newsletter with a written Bible study, a CD catalog, and a list of written reference works available through Shepherd's Chapel. To request our free introductory offer by telephone, call 800-643-4645, 24 hours a day. You may also request our introductory offer by writing to Shepherd's Chapel, P.O. Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas, 72736. Once again, that's Shepherd's Chapel, P.O. Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas, 72736. We invite you to join us for the next in-depth Bible study each weekday at the same time. Thank you for watching today's program, and God bless you.